So we're going to pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we bring our tithes, Lord, we bring our offerings, Lord God. And Lord, we give and we sow tonight, Lord, into the kingdom, Lord. We sow into the man of God. And Lord, we just believe, Lord God, as in this as being good soil. Lord, we believe, Lord God, you're going to come along, you're going to water it, Lord. Lord, you're going to bring a 30, 60, 100, Lord, a Deuteronomy 1:11 blessing, Lord God. We declare in Jesus' name to your people and all the saints of God said, amen.
Love reaches out to me. Your grace is made a way to you. Made a way to you. Your word lives inside of me. Your truth is life to all who hear. Life to all who hear. We live for you. Live your truth. Your kingdom come and your will be done. And we serve your heart, serve your heart. Let salvation flow and your people pray. That we long for more, long for more. Power can stand against your name, the power of your name. In faith we will rise to thee, your hands and feet to all the earth. Yes, life to all the earth. We live for you. Live your, we live for you, Lord. We live for you, yes. Live your truth. May your kingdom come and your will be done. As we serve your heart, serve your heart. Let salvation flow as your people pray. Lord, we long for more, long for more. May your kingdom be done, and we serve your heart, serve your heart. Let salvation come, and your people reign, and we long for more, long for more.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. We're glad to have Johnny in the house tonight. Amen. Two quick announcements. One is Johnny will be here again tomorrow night. We'll also be doing some personal prophecy on tonight. I don't know how long we go. I don't think we're going to go to midnight tonight, brother. But we'll go. We're also going to do our best to record those on our CDs. We'll try to break those off and record them on CDs for you. So, because we believe the Rhema word of God. You know, the Rhema word is the spoken word, the word that has life. It's the word in season. You know, what happens, you ever notice when you get a prophecy, sometimes before you walk out the door, you forget what it was? Yeah. Because the enemy comes immediately and steals that from you. So, Johnny will be here with us tomorrow night also, Saturday night. So, you know, invite your friends, come on out. You know, we'll squeeze in. Has everybody got a seat? Mm-hmm. We okay? All right. If we have to, we can squeeze up if we have to. I got more chairs I can put out too if I have to. Huh? We got more chairs if we have to. We also will, starting, not this Monday, it's next Monday, isn't it? February the 2nd, Leslie Glover is going to be starting a teaching out of Esther called, what is it called? It's called Esther. But what it deals with, what does it deal with here? Esther. I need my bulletin. I got it better in my bulletin than this thing. It deals with Esther. But no, it has deals with other things. I mean, come on. Somebody else read it off to me. Making announcements and I don't even know what I'm announcing. This is an old bulletin, though. That's not the new one. Where's the new one? They're giving old bulletins out. Y'all give me the old one. Oh, y'all give me the old one. Okay, anyway. So, yeah, February the 2nd, it'll deal with, you know, with Esther, you know, Esther's time and all that and how she went through, you know, being feeling inadequate. Anybody that wants to be part of that, it's one of Beth Moore's teachings, I think is what it's going to be. So it'll be an interactive video kind of thing. So there'll be more information. I'll get it out on the website, too, if you're interested in that. So it'll be February the 2nd, which will be a Monday night. Huh? Leslie's got cards in the back, too, if you want to, anybody wants to pick up one of those cards or whatever. I'll also be starting in February the 14th, I'll start a new teaching, too, on Nehemiah, which deals with being leaders in our family, leaders in our community. God's looking for some leaders, amen?
Yes.
Some people that'll step up.
Yes.
I'm telling you, this is the season of the harvest. Debbie, I don't have time for her to give her testimony, but she can do it tomorrow. But she actually been praying for her brother for years and finally gave his heart to the Lord this year. Isn't that? I'm telling you, the harvest is here. That's what the Lord's been dealing with. Matthew 7:7, ask and you shall receive. Amen. Seek, you shall find. Knock, and the door will be opened. Amen. Come on up, Brother Johnny. We're so glad to have Brother Johnny Foote with him. Find Johnny Foote with us tonight. Give me that mic. Let him have that one, yeah. He probably don't want this, and I've been singing and spitting in this thing all night. And here's your water, brother. Fresh brew. Go. Hey.
Thank you, Mike. Good to be in the house. Better that the Lord's in the house.
Yes, amen.
You know, sis just grabs that, she's grabbing her phone. I just got a new phone, and my wife and I were coming from Sandest, and I said, well, you know, we'll just pull over here and we'll get a picture. And I'm out here, I'm watching this couple, you know, we were in this restaurant, we're watching them eat, and just really enjoying them. I mean, just look like they traveled down, and they're holding the pictures and their cameras up, doing the pictures over their head. I said, look, man, they're a really cute looking couple right there. And so let's go get a picture of the beach. And so I've got my new phone out, and I'm going click, click, click. And I've got blue in the back. I don't know. I think I kind of went over the top of the head. But we need a picture. We need a picture of what the Lord's doing. You know, the Bible says that without a vision, my people perish. And too many have perished along the way. We've started, we've started walking in some new directions, and long awaited about ministering to the prophets. And, you know, my wife and I, we've been contemplating this for some time. So we do a lot of local ministry in Pensacola. You know, we've been doing it for years, meeting there once a month. But we've felt for years that there's a purpose for not knowing exactly how we were going to minister to them. I was in Switzerland. The Lord said, I want you to pastor the prophets. So I had a mindset of, you know, we'll build a house. Here's a steeple, and here's all the little people underneath. But it was a different way, I believe, that the Lord was saying. He said, if you'll just gather the people together. And we just basically have not so much had a great plan. We're just trying to walk in obedience, and the Lord said, just do it. And so we're simply just taking a stride, and we met in a house instead of a church type facility. We have a church open to us where we minister, but we felt that it was the ingredients that the Lord was pouring in. It was like the mix, just to do it on the home base. And we had about 30 people showed up, and we did this all within a week. But the Lord had been, I believe, planning this for over 6 years. And so we've been waiting for the Lord, and there's times that we wait. As I was sitting there, it was like change of plans, and so this is short, and it may be sweet. If it goes longer, go God. But if it's me, then let's bail out, let's get parachutes and jump real quick. In 1 Samuel chapter 21, verse 8, David is a man on the run. His birthright is inheritance of a kingdom. God has taken him to the highest level from where you could see a shepherd, from a shepherd going into the king's house. I mean, there's such an excitement to know that you've arrived. And then to know that there's a place for you, that the Lord has spoken through the prophet Samuel, that you're going to be in kingship. There's relationship with the father, but Samuel's prophesied this man's reputation, his word has never fallen to the ground. We see that David has run. He's run from his father, his father-in-law. I've had internal strife in our family before. Probably some of the most, to me, it was one of the most devastating things that could ever happen to you is whenever your family begins to tear up and things begin to break down, especially communication. The enemy's right in the middle of it. Your family's together all at one point. All of a sudden, there's a storm. We went through a hurricane, and through the hurricane, it's a natural storm. But during that time, we'd inherited a house. Many of you guys have heard this story, but I'm not really going into much detail. I'm just saying that in this time of inheritance, and David, he also has an inheritance. Inheritance to become king. Well, we'd inherited my father's house, so here I'm stepping into my dad's house. And I traveled. I had to go to Germany. And during this time, we had a family. I'll just say it was just the enemies stirred things up. And they went in and began to strip the house while I was gone. I was so far away, and our communications had just literally had fallen off. And things had become so dysfunctional and just erratic. It was a mess. And in my heart was just take the inheritance and just throw it back. Because there's no strength in it. It wasn't worth a house. I mean, it wasn't a mansion. It was my father's house. But yet the Lord was going to teach me about inheritance, that this inheritance, he said, if you'll watch what your father did, your father is the one that gave you the blessing. And it was my father who would open up, and I remember eyes to eyes, just looking at me. And my dad and I, we'd had a rough coming up. But in the latter years, we began to work together. And things just bonded, and it was a son and a father. And I've been that reminiscing about your dad. And so when this battle went on, and I felt like the Lord took me back, and he said, look again at your father's eyes. And it was my father that read the will. My father at that time had Alzheimer's, and it was in the beginning stages, and he had handwritten. And he said to Johnny, he said to you, he said, I leave you a double portion. And the double portion was the house, and it was the garage. It was on a double lot, but I mean, to my other siblings, he gave them lots. But he said, to you, I give a double portion. Now that all led into this. My brothers and sisters, they'd all gone to their various ways, and I was the black sheep, and everybody went right, I went left, and my mom had called, and she'd asked, is there anything we can do to you? It's not that my family was rich, but it was something personable, that what can we do? I mean, it was like there was an injustice, and it was in my mom's heart. We want to make it right. And I looked, and I felt again, it's monetarily, things would just go, it's spent. And this is my choice. What I would like, I would like for the blessing. What's a blessing? Came out of a Presbyterian background. We don't know. And gave them some scriptures. They went and read it. They researched it. Came back, and that was the opening of the day. And this all happened before the great, or for us, what was a great storm, that we would lose a house, but we would transition into a house of inheritance. Now, when we transition into the house of inheritance, there's a place to where, are you going to fight for what God has given to you? And not only was it my earthly dad who had given me an inheritance, but the Lord said, if you'll know, he said, not only all good things come from your Father above. And it was virtue through my Father in heaven, via through my dad and through my mom. And this blessing is something that I'll taste of for all of my life. Is it the house of my choice? It was the house to where the Lord visited me. It was a place to where the Lord would take me back to where visitations had taken place. I mean, from the beginning of meeting the Lord. And it was a place to where there's security in the foundation. And there's times that you're going to have to go back and redig and redo and walk back on the foundation that God's brought you to. Now, I started out talking about David. David has had family problems, and in the midst of it, he's run. And as we look at verse 8 of 21, 1 Samuel 21, verse 8, I'm just going to read just a note here, and we'll see how we take off from here. And David said to Ahimelech, and he said, "Is there not here," and this is the priest, he'd run, he's fled from Saul, comes to where Ahimelech is. He said, "Is there not here under your hand a spear or a sword? For I've neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste." I mean, he's knowing that he's under the fling, he's underneath the hand, pressure's on. And the priest said, "The sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here, wrapped in a cloth, behind the ephod. If you will take that, take it. And there is not another save that here." And David said, "There's none like that. Give it to me." And David arose and he fled that day for fear of Saul, and he went to Achish, the king of Gath. There's a place to where we've run, and we've come to a place to where God has brought us to where sometimes we're just absolutely empty. It's like, "God, where are the weapons of our warfare? Lord, what is it that we're going to do battle with? The very Philistine is almost an abominable thing, but the sword that was taken from this giant is preserved." And I see that when David, when he takes the sword, there's none else. "I don't have a sword, but there's a sword that's been preserved." And God's preserved, I believe, a sword for the body of Christ. It's the very sword that the giant held. But has God redeemed the sword? Absolutely. He takes the sword, redeems the sword, and now it's time for this young Jewish lad to come take up the sword and fight again. Does the fight, who does it belong to? The battle belongs to the Lord. And if we're going to trust in the Lord, then we're going to have to trust in this place of faith. We find that faith, oftentimes, you know, it's there's a couple things going on with faith. One place for faith is safe. Safe faith doesn't mix. It's almost like an oxymoron. If you're going to be safe, you can be safe in faith. If you're walking in faith, you can be safe. But to hang out in the place to where everything's safe, you know, we're looking at the economy, and Mike just alluded to that economy. I mean, people are watching things plummet. People have had their values, their hopes into it. Where are your values at? I mean, whenever everything you had, you've lost it. And then it's like, what else do we have? You have your life. God's preserved an inheritance for you, and it remains in heaven. What if you lost everything? What if you did? You know what? I tell you this, the Lord said, through the Word of God, He said, "I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen them begging for bread." But Lord, I'm down, I'm broken, I'm at the bottom. And that's where He takes the bottom. I find that people, they look for the good looking one. You know, let's pick this one. He looks good. But when the Lord looks at one, He said, "This one is after my heart." It's not necessarily out of the outside man that God's looking. It's the man in which He formed and He shaped. I saw a picture. I watched a potter, and the potter was an interesting person to me. I've always I like it, watch what they're doing, but I didn't really understand it. So I asked, I said, what happens? Because what I saw the potter doing, I saw him build this thing up, and then I saw him just take it, and he just began to slam it, and he just began to beat it. And I was under the impression that he's removing the air bubbles, getting air bubbles out of it. And I asked this potter, and I said, "Is there anybody the potter?" And this young lady raised her hand. And I said, "What does it mean whenever the potter takes it, and then they just begin to beat it?" "It means he doesn't like it." I said, "Lord, you beat us up pretty good sometimes." But it's this remaking of the vessel. And if I'm going to rebuild it, I'm going to take it back down to the foundation. And many times what you're trusting in the safety instead of the faith. And the faith that God's given to you, it's like walking out, and all of a sudden it's like the guy walking on the tightrope. I mean, it's stretched out, and he says, "Remove from underneath me, remove the security." I mean, we have security blankets and we're holding on to what's safe. And I don't want to get too far from it because I might get my feet tangled up and I might fall. I want to sit before His feet. We had a gentleman, he just came and he began to speak to us. We just came out of a conference And as he began to speak, this gentleman, he's in his 70s. I mean, he's a senior brother who's walked it. He's been through it. He's on the line. And guys began to fire questions at him. And it was like, no matter how hard the shot was, it was a man who had walked in the presence of the Lord, knows the Lord, and the Lord knows him. And every time he would speak, it was like, I don't care what you're saying. I just want you to talk because of where you've been, because you've been in the presence of the Lord. And because every time he would open his mouth, wisdom would come out. And it's like, can I keep pace in that? And just watching the Lord taking us to a place to where we can enjoy his presence. Had a dream, and the dream was rather interesting to me. This particular dream was an ice bucket. Now, pick up the ice bucket in the dream, and I look underneath it, and it says, Old Way. Wow. That's the dream. And so I'm trying to, you know, I don't get a lot of the things. I mean, it's like dreams. I mean, it's like calling those who interpret. But you know, if you stay there and dig long enough and ask long enough, knock long enough, you're going to start getting it because the answer comes. It might be like Daniel. You may not have gotten in the first watch. It may be like you're saying 21 days of fasting. But there's a place to where the Lord, when he brings it, there's purpose with the word. And his word is not a placebo. His word is that you can live on and that which you can walk on. This word that he gave me said the church has grown cold. Not only has it grown cold, he said they've grown cold in the things of the Holy Spirit. There's your ice bucket. I said, great, Lord. And he said, I want you to look. He said, the old way. He said, now go back and relook at the old way. Go back not only to the old way, he said, but go to the wells. And so I began to go back. I love the scriptures about Isaac, how he would fight for the wells, how he would go back and redig. And I love the names of the wells. So I went back and I began to look, and I felt like the Lord confirmed it again. He said, go back and now just watch. Watch what he has to do. And I took a note. It was a thing of interest because from Abraham to Isaac, during this time, it's only one generation. One generation has transpired, and already the Philistines had already taken the wells and had already filled the wells back in. Only in one generation. In one generation, we can have such a loss if we don't go back and redig. What's happened so much in this season of the life of the church is that there's been a watering down of the Word of God. There's been a watering, just this watering down, and it's like, Lord, shall we not regather and regroup? The dream, I believe, absolutely had purpose. And then the Lord just began to blow a trumpet. And I believe it was like the second trumpet, the third trumpet. It's just, there's times when you begin to recognize God's calling us to gather. When we see what a gathering is, and again, as I'm gathering with the prophets, the interesting word is a company of prophets. And a company, that picture of a company is a rope, and it's tied together. And it's like a threefold cord is not easily broken. When the Lord begins to take this intertwining of ministry, and he begins to take the prophets, and he said, I'm going to take you, and I'm going to bind you together in such unity that whenever you begin to walk, he said, you won't break. You know, it's being joined to one another. A friend of ours, he's on a fast. I mean, just there's many people going on a fast during the season, and I'm watching him waver. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You get into the restaurant, and it's like the whole menu is edible. I mean, you can take it, and just the pictures alone, I mean, it's just like, let me eat this thing. But I'm watching his wife. I mean, his wife, you know, your bride can give you the look. I mean, if you're not married, I mean, someday may you understand the look. To live through the look is something to understand. And she's looking at him because he's ordering. He starts going through this big meat entree thing. And he says, what if I just take off the meat? And he starts taking off the fried stuff. I mean, by the time he's getting his salad right there, it's just lettuce. But his dream is, I want to eat again. You know, there's times whenever the Lord, he'll take you back to the wells that you were refreshed from. And that very well that Isaac was refreshed from, he had to go back and redig the father's wells. The battle lines that were set were that the herdsmen would come and that they would not only put the stones and fill them back in, but there's work to be done if we're going to go back and bring up the spring that God's built inside of us. This water is eternal and it has purpose right there. I begin to minister on this because I begin hearing the Lord speak in the very first of January. We do a first meeting on the first of the month in our city, and the Lord, I felt that His words to us that He was saying was that prepare, like you were singing, for the rain, that there's an outpouring that's coming. Now, when you look at an outpouring, it means that there's a deluge coming. A pouring of the Lord, when it rains, there's something about when the Lord begins to pour. And when He outpours, it's like everything comes together. And so I begin to look at the upper room. I begin to look at where they gathered at. And, you know, you can watch things, but historically, if God's not going there, there's no sense going there at all. If we've gathered here tonight for a man, you know, we've came to the wrong house. But if we came to gather and we came to wait for what He's going to do, then we wait and we watch, we wait and we wait and we wait. Might get bored. It's uncomfortable whenever you're waiting. You might not see exactly what you came to see. But what God came to give in the house was when He told them to go to Jerusalem and wait. It's that hardship of going back to the place to where you were persecuted at. Go back to the ground that was even filled back in. Go back to where your house was, where you used to live. And then they took the wells that you used to drink from, and you can't drink anymore. It's something about when a son walks back to his own house or walks back to where they used to live, where the wells were. And when Isaac walks back to where the wells were, there's a thirst come back. This is where I drank. You begin to remember. It's like going back to the house that you were raised up in. This is where I used to play it. I mean, you can reminisce, going through the things that happened. But it's the place of meeting place that I believe God wanted to do here tonight. I believe that this beginning of outpouring. And He began to remind me about Elijah. That what he told him was that go tell the king, go tell him what is about to happen, that from a drought and from a famine, I am bringing rain. There, it's not a suggestion. I am says that rain is coming. Don't ever doubt when the Holy Spirit is spoken. Don't ever doubt. I had a good friend of mine. He called me up and he began to just share with me about what the Holy Spirit was doing. He said, I was young in the Lord, or in a younger place in the Lord, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me about a young man who had just lost his dad. He and his dad were on the golf field, on the golf course, not field, but they're playing back and forth, and he's literally he's cussing his dad. Just, I mean, there's such this animosity going on, and it's like a place of where you would think. It's sonship, it's relationship, you're building. But yet there was such strife on this field, and it was like his dad drops dead on that golf course. No pulse, no brainwaves, everything's there. And he goes to the friend of mine, John, and he says, if I could have one moment, if I could just have one moment back with my dad. And so he's laying up in the hospital, brain dead, they're going to unplug everything. And my brother, the friend of mine, hears a word. The Lord says, if you'll repent and give your life to me. See, this guy didn't know the Lord. And he's hearing this guy witness to him because he's seen his life. He said, if you'll repent, if you'll fall down and give your life to Jesus Christ, I'll raise your dad from the dead. And now, so here he's got a word that he hears to tell this guy, his son's dead. This guy's a heathen. I like that word. Just a downright old heathen. And he's talking to this guy. He said, if you'll repent, give your life to Jesus Christ, God will raise your dad up. You'll have that moment back with him. And he fought with it. Has anybody ever fought with a word? I mean, it's myself. It's my mind. It's everything. I mean, you're doing war in the natural because we're a natural people trying to hear a spiritual word. And what if I fail and it gives the Lord a black eye? I mean, that's far out, you know, to say that. And he said, you know, he's telling the secrets, and he said, you know, he said, I told this man the story. He said, I gave in the battle, and I said, and he witnessed the very words to this young man. The young man falls down on his knees. They're on a construction site, falls down on his knees right there, and just forget what's around us, and he gives his life to Jesus Christ. If I could have the moment back with my dad. God, I believe you that you'll raise my dad. He calls him back. You know, he can't wait. What happened? He comes back to work the next day. He said, I was too late. And John's, his heart's going down. It's like, what do you mean you're too late? I mean, I told you that God would raise him up. I mean, you've stepped out on the edge, and you're so far out on the edge, there's no more tree to hold you. You know, you've passed the limb. He said, before I got there, there were nurses running in and running out of my dad's room right there. He said, when I got there, he was sitting upright already. And the brain waves came, the heart back. God gave him life to come back. There's a place, I believe, that God wants to bring us back to where when we didn't have a sword, that we go back and we get the sword, that we come back on the cutting edge. We may have left home without it, but God said, I've called you to be instant in season and out of season. Now, this is kind of a smorgasbord mix, and I've just felt like, Lord, what do you really want to do here tonight? I mean, it's fun whenever we jump up in town and there's some excitement, but I believe that there's a preparation for the rain. And what is rain? Rain is His presence. I mean, it's absolutely nothing other than His presence. I mean, you know, I'm talking something different from a natural. If you're here and you're not understanding what I'm saying, I mean, yes, we have rain that waters the land, but I believe that there's a rain of God. I believe that He rules and reigns. And I believe that like rain, that when His presence comes in, it's that almost that tangible feeling of His presence comes in. And I believe that God's stirring us again, that we gather, that these meetings of gathering are for the intent purpose for the Lord's presence to be among us. That not only in the intentions of gathering in His presence, but that He calls us to thirst and hunger after righteousness once again. If our wells have been stopped up inside of us, then we have got to go back inside and re-dig inside me. Search me, Lord. And it's like we can compartmentalize our thinking. I mean, guys, we're notorious about this. I mean, it's like, you know, my wife, she'll ask me, what are you thinking? Or you come back from a meeting and what happened? You know, what's going on? And it was okay. I mean, I'm not a detailed person, but I believe that God's after pulling something out. He's pulling something out. It's not so far back. It's not so forgotten that we'd remember the days of His outpouring of His presence. These days that are coming, they're marked by repentance. And even as you mark them by repentance, as we're watching and looking historically, and let me just shorten it up. In Brownsville, in Pensacola right there, Brother Steve Hill came, and when Steve came, I mean, the Lord brought him in for a unique season. The unique season was, if you take the ministry that Steve had brought forth, the crux of it was this, repent. Repent, and then the Spirit of the Lord fall. During the early 70s, we saw the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that would just come. I mean, it was, again, I like that word, the deluge. Just that pouring. It was such a pouring of the Holy Spirit. Young people began to grab hold of God. They received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's a security in the things of God. But when God began to release it, sometimes we're trying to figure out, what is it? But we can go back and begin looking historically at Joel. Actually, I believe the Lord said, let's go back a little bit farther. When you start looking into it, look into Genesis. And I'm not reading for the purpose because we're going to do some ministry here tonight. But when you start looking historically on outpourings, you know, we can look at what happened in America. You can look in the lands. You can look in the nations. But in Genesis, there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We see that Moses gathered and he said, the Lord had spoken to him, gather 70 men, gather them together. And upon your leadership, I'm going to take the Spirit that I've placed upon you and I'm going to pour it upon these men. We see out of the 70, 68 men have gathered together. They're in one accord, one place. Two men missing. The name of one is Eldad, the other is Medad. Back outside the camp. When the Spirit of God comes, there's an outpouring. The Holy Spirit's fallen. We see Joshua. Joshua's outside. He's the runner coming in. Joshua, it seems like the little snotty little kid right there. Shh, I'm going to tell. They're prophesying in the camp. Comes back in and said, they're prophesying in the camp. What do you want to do about it? There's something that just began to rejoice in his heart because not only did the Spirit of God visit them in the intended place, in the gathering place, but he was also taking outside the rim of where they had gathered. And when he gathers up the men and said, let's go see this thing. There's an excitement that let's go see what God's doing outside of our house. What is God doing outside of your house? See, some of you guys have come from different areas. You come from different arenas. And what's God doing in the house? You know, it's one thing hearing about it, but God, I want to take it back. And if we're taking back this portion, and if it's by the Spirit of God, then it's going to be as a portion of fire. I believe that upon each one of you, God's called your light to shine. And if you're a candle and you've burned out, I believe that He wants to resurrect that fire back inside of you. It's like the salt. If you've lost the taste of what it even looks like, if you've been going through the formalities of we come in, we just stand up and we're praising, and I don't feel His presence anymore. You know what? Feelings are who we are. It's just a natural portion of who we are. But He calls us, there's a mix, I believe, of man with spirit. Let's, those that worship God, let Him worship Him in spirit and in truth. There's a mix, I believe, that God says, you know, I poured my spirit in man, unflesh, my spirit, unholy men with holy God inside of you. Holy God that would fit, and you'd walk in things and look at things that are not fitting. If the Lord was beside you, you wouldn't walk to places that you would. Just earlier on Thanksgiving, I was having chest pains. You're up a little bit older now. A little pressure on your chest. And I've got a good friend of mine came into Pensacola. He's a physician, and he's going through the flight program. And he's, he called him up, and I said, Bill, I said, my chest has been uncomfortable. I mean, I slept, and I felt like my shoulder was numb. I mean, and he's going like, flag one, flag two, my blood pressure's up, flag three. He said, they can check back 10 days back. Why don't you go let them go, you know, go to the ER, let them check it out. They can check your enzymes out and make sure everything's okay. So I go in, Georgette takes me, and we roll into to the ER. And I say something about my chest hurting. Next thing I know, we've got the Grand Hotel. I mean, it's just like you're bypassing all of a sudden. And if you've got insurance, you're even better, man. I mean, it's just you fly a little faster. It's like they grease the wheels up. And a minister on top of that with insurance. It's like, man. God give us grace. So I'm back there, and I'm going through this thing, the routine of they're you know, punching holes in you. They've got you hooked up with EKGs, and everything's happening. And they put this patch on. They put a nitro patch on, and they start hitting me up with beta blockers. I mean, it's just the different things that they're doing. And next thing, I'm swallowing these aspirin, and just really I'm having a good time. And they're monitoring everything that's going on, and it's like, no, I'm sorry, I'm here. You know, I was gonna stop and get some barbecue. We're a little bit hungry. And the lady, she's the physician. I mean, he's going in and said, you know, you're talking about a plate of death. I mean, you know, that's a heart attack in a box. And I'm going, Lord, you know, I said, sister, I don't believe that. I just believe, you know, I wouldn't get the pork. I would get the beef, you know, so I'm trying to bump it up a little bit better. But all the time, so we're having a good time in there, and they've got me sitting up, and I'm eating a meal and talking with them, having a good time. All of a sudden, I get slammed. I mean, everything's monitoring. You know, we're going to let you out in about, you know, about 4 or 5 hours. We want to watch you one more time because your enzymes was just slightly questionable. See, everything looks good. We don't think you had a heart attack. Everything looks good. But I'm sitting there with all the stuff, everything that they had given me, all of a sudden it's opened up all everything. I mean, I don't know the medical terms. You guys can help me out, those who are. But all of a sudden, my blood pressure plummeted, and I felt like somebody just took a baseball bat, hit me in the chest, and what I feared had come upon me. I'm going through cold sweats. I mean, just perspiration. Georgette's the only one in there with me. I begin to shrink. I can't breathe. They got me on pure oxygen. I'm breathing, and I can't get my breath. I begin to fall down, and as I'm slumped, I want to slump down. I just want to get back. And as they begin to come in, Georgette goes running out right there. And at that time, my pressures are plummeting. My heart rate went down to 27 beats per minute. Everything that was happening was I was heading home fast. And there's an intervention that God had. And what I watched was Georgette was back in the back, and she was flipping a coin, 50-50. God, you take him or I get him, you know, and just teasing. But it was like, it's before, you know, are you ready to go home? Or are you ready to meet the Lord? I mean, I've met the Lord. I've had encounters with the Lord. But in this particular one, I mean, you know, I was in Brazil, and I literally had left my body. I mean, we'd had it was an onslaught of an attack where physically I'd left my body. It wasn't like I've seen on TV, but what happened to me was totally different. But I met His presence, saw His glory, didn't see the Lord at that time, but in that particular time, entered back into my body. I mean, it just, I know that I know what is, and on this on this particular time, I'm in the hospital. Everything's going in. There's panic in there. Doctors, they're trying to get life back in me. They're saying, Mr. Foot, can you breathe? Cough. I don't hear anything because now I've gone into a fetal position. I mean, my blood pressure, it's dropped down. I mean, I don't even remember what it was. It had just bottomed out. And by the time it hit 27 beats, that was the last thing. The doctor came in and he's ripping things off. And I'm saying, I can't breathe. And then I don't even see any more light. In the fetal position, all you want to do is just, you want to be back to the place where you were. Whenever you were having a good time, you were laughing. Then in a second of time, all of a sudden, your life is tumbling out of your control. And it's in the control of God Almighty. What are you going to do with the breath that you had just a minute ago? What are you going to do in this time of your life? See, the Lord's breaking the people out. And do you remember? Do you want to go back? Do you want to relive like you did yesterday? Or do you want the things that are even in front of you? I believe that the Lord's called us again to dine with the King. I believe that He's pouring out the wine. It's the new wine. But those who liked the wine, they said the old wine's better. The Lord said on that bottom of that ice bucket, He said, return to the old ways. And as we begin to look at the old ways, then we begin looking back at the pathways. What do you want out of today? I mean, it's one thing coming to a meeting and say, prophesy to me, prophet. Or is it something deeper than that? Lord, I'm looking for the outpouring that you pour in. I'm looking for what you did community-wise. See, with this fire of the Lord's presence, what they saw tangibly with their physical eyes. They saw fire in Acts. They literally saw a visitation of God. They heard a wind come into that house. A wind. We're talking about doors closed because it's a security reasons. There was a fear for their lives, but they've gathered in one accord, one place, because Jesus said, if you'll go to Jerusalem and wait, there I'll meet. I'm sending my Spirit, the Comforter, the Holy One, the Holy Spirit of God. That same Spirit was poured out in Joel. Joel prophesied about it, and Acts, they received it. There's a place that we're coming to, I believe that it's with tongues. They received the tongues, they're speaking in unknown languages, but yet men begin to discern it from the nations. I got a little excited because we're coming into 450 years in Pensacola, the oldest place to where on record in our nation. We are the oldest historical site that was started. St. Augustine holds the existing ongoing for the longest. But we were the first place to where they came and they set foot upon. We have prayers that are recorded and they blessed the land. They dedicated the land to the Lord. When you come into a place that's been dedicated. See, that house that God gave me, it was dedicated. It was given to me for inheritance. It was given to me that you might know the double portion. There's a portion that God's given you. When David comes without his sword, God has a bigger sword. And I'm telling you that God has a sword that's like the giant sword. I preserved it for you. That which has been in a cloth, I'm taking it out. It's your inheritance, but you got to fight for your inheritance. I never understood what it was to fight until the Lord said, it's not a physical battle. He said, this is a spiritual battle. You take it to the heavenlies. And it's things that are recorded. How you're going to act, how you respond, and how you're going to respond with what God's called you to do. The ministry of the gospel is called to go throughout the whole land, throughout the whole region. How's this going to take place? How are you going to reach your lost daddy? Your lost mom? Some of our families have already gone on to heaven. They've already gone on before us. Some have lost. Some are in hell. But you can't pull back unless God gives us that moment. What's that moment? That moment may be today, maybe tonight. You know, I know that even with my own son, I remember getting in the car just recently, and we've been at odds. I mean, this is one of my sons here, and we've just been at odds. We've just been clashing, hitting heads. It's because there's a different think, a different thought, and it's like, God, you know, I've told him, I said, Lord, I don't know. There's something, I've never met anybody like you. And I'm talking to my son. I said, you're thinking in ways that I can't even comprehend. And it's right. There's a generational think that we can't comprehend. This newer generation has an abstract thoughts that are absolutely different. It's unique. But God says, I'm giving you a generation. He said, this generation is the next generation. He said, I'm going to give you the next generation. See, now my comprehension of the generation, I didn't understand the different abstract, you know, words that they were calling this, you know, the other generation. All I remember was that it was the X generation. And when the Lord said, I'm going to give you this next generation, He said, if you'll take the X, see, they took away the X. And they want to disclose just, but if you'll take the X out of the next generation, you've got a net generation. And if you'll take that net and begin to throw it, that's what I felt the Lord said. He said, throw the net and you'll begin catching. Now, we had a gathering, and this gathering was a bunch of young kids. Now, we didn't plan on this type of gathering. But the Lord began to stir my heart. He said, look, if you're going to begin catching this generation, you've got to walk where this generation is. I had my own thoughts on how to reach, you know, my son's kids, you know, this group of guys. And I was thinking, you know, we'll have a fast-paced games. You know, I'm getting ahead of my story. But I had my own thoughts what we could do. And what I found for my son, he said, look, he said, Dad, he said, all we want to do, we just want to hang out. Now, I've told you a story. Let me back up and fill in the parts that I missed. My son Tyler, on his birthday, his 20th birthday, calls his mom and says, look, he said, we're gonna have some guys over. You know, would that be all right? I mean, it's late in the day. And, I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like a couple guys going to come. Two guys can each add a house and home. Nonetheless, he says about 8 to 10. We got 8 to 10 guys, and we're looking for a miracle. And so we're gathering the pot. We're going to put spaghetti on. Well, when Tyler says he's got 8 to 10 friends coming over there, we had over 40 kids coming to our house. Hungry. Piranhas have nothing on these guys. I mean, if it looks like it's food, we'll eat it. You know, it's like, yeah, but that one was mine. You know? But we loved it, and it stirred my heart that they would come to our house. And what I saw a young kid who was a leader. And this young kid, he's not only a leader, he's fallen into the enemy's camp. I told him, I said, because I felt the Lord said it, I've watched preachers' kids, I mean prophets, pastors, you can go down all fivefold, but all these kids are out there on the other side. I mean, this group that you're running with, you know, it's like we're living for one another instead of we're living for God. We've got a beer in one hand and we're trying to grab God with the other. And I said, it's just not a mix. God, how can I reach the one that came out of our loins? I mean, you know, how can I reach the one? The other day when I went and I took him to work, I just looking back, I said, I drove him to where he's working at, but when I dropped him off and as I began to drive, I realized I never even looked at his face. I never even looked eye to eye. I mean, that's something personal with me because it's like I'm going on just like, am I going to live like I used to live? Am I going to live in an old way? Am I going to be unforgiving? Am I so rigid that I won't turn back and reach in one more time? You know, we hear Jesus saying, how often do I have to forgive my brother? And it's just not a numerical 7 times 70. It's like, ding, you know, you're over, you know, you're out. But it's that heart of the Lord that you turn your other cheek, you forgive them again and again and again and again and again and again. Just when you raised up that generation, you thought, man, it's time to turn them loose. Go, you know, go get it. You know, I'm going my life, you go your life. But they're hanging in, hanging out. Why? Why hasn't he flown? What is it, God? See, this young leader that's able to call up and have 40 kids there in a moment, the Lord said, if you'll capture it. If you'll capture the heart of this young one that's yours, and you ought to take it personal because he's yours. He's not someone else that somebody else, you know, let somebody else save my son because I may not have tomorrow. And if I didn't look at his eyes, if I don't forget what he looks like, it's like, God, don't let me forget and don't let him forget he's got a daddy. Because you can get hard. I was hard. I lived it. I didn't speak to my family for over 3 years. I mean, literally, I lived in the same house. That was as a kid coming up. I mean, I was drugging. I was doing everything the other way other than not knowing the Lord. But I know what God's after. I know he's after this generation, and I don't want to go too much longer on this. But Georgette and I, we're going over the next day. I mean, the next day we're just hanging and we're talking, and we're saying, you know, this is over 40 kids in this house. I mean, how can we reach this generation? And Tyler, about the time we're talking, he comes walking in the door and he's asking a question. And I felt the Lord just download it. He said, they will come if you build it. I'm just teasing. They'll come if you feed them. I said, Tyler, do you think you guys would come if we feed you? Yeah. Yeah, you put it on, we'll come. These kids, they're out there. They are abstract. I mean, they're in a different dimension. But one thing's happened is that that seed that was sown to him, it hasn't gone. It hasn't fallen to the ground. The promise is still there. On the first week we gathered, we had about 17 kids come. Came in. And that was where I was saying, you know, my thought was, you know, if we're going to do it, let's do it my way. And I'm thinking about games, fast way. And it's like, Dad, we don't do it that way. All we want to do, we just want to hang out. We just want to hang out. We want real. So, Dad, they know you. I mean, the city, I mean, these are kids from all over the city. So, Dad, they know you. That they respect you because you're real. And they came. Said, let's do it again. Let's get next week. Next week come, we have over 20 some odd kids. During that time, we have one of the kids that came in. They began to open up to us. I said, look, guys, I said, give me 5 minutes. Just give me 5 minutes. I want to tell you why I've called you here. I said, one, I love you. I want you. The Lord wants you. I mean, there were things I just began to tell in the heart. But I said, grab your neighbor's hand. I mean, whether I said neighbor or not, Georgia said, take off the preacher hat. I said, but I said this, after saying a couple things that I wanted to speak to their heart, I said, just, if you will, I said, let's pray. And they grabbed the hands and they just began to pray. Well, one of them opened up and he said this. When they opened up, that means that you're getting on new ground. He said, one of our friends, one of our best friends just OD'd and he's in the hospital tonight. He didn't wake up. He's in a coma. And we don't know if he is. I said, let's pray for him. We prayed for him, and that was it. Just, dear Father, just simple prayer. Dear Lord, we're after this one. Lord, we ask that you'd reach this young man. After they left and came back, about 30 minutes later, these kids that had just gotten finished praying, wasn't my prayer, I got them to pray. Young man who told us about the young man, his name's James. James called back and said, Mr. Johnny, he said, I just called, and he's awake. He's just come up. He's, the life's come back in. What I'm saying is this, is that the life is in the Word. And the Word is God's Word. And the Word never fell to the ground. It's still in operation. If we came out without the sword tonight, if we came out and said, God, I forgot what it even feels like, your presence. God, I forgot what it is for a move. There's a move in your own house. If you'll begin taking the ground, if you'll begin taking the initiative, it's time to take it back. It's not time to look back at whether you got a minister's card or what it is. You are ministers for the King of Kings. He's called us to be the salt. You're called to be the salt of the earth. You ever eaten salt? You ever seen anybody just come and just dine on salt? I saw a kid take sugar and dine on sugar, but not for salt. If we're of this generation that the Lord said, I'm going to breathe on, His life is the breath of life. When He breathed into Adam, there was life. And what God's breathing into us, I believe it's life here tonight. Could you guys just come and just stand up? Mitch, could I just get you to come back up here? I believe this is as far as we're going to go and just sharing the heart. Tonight's just, I believe we're breaking bread. We're breaking bread, but we're accountable for what we've been given. The Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. There's a requirement. But there's a love that the Lord bring us back on the pathway. Bring us back to the restored place. Bring us back to the ground that we have ownership to. Bring us back to the inheritance ground. Bring us back that if I lost my edge, if I lost the cutting edge, I'm after the sword that you've preserved for me, Father. Father, we don't want to look back to the past and see nothing but this outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Father, you said in Birmingham, let it rain. Lord, in this city, let it rain. Father, in Summerton, from the northern end, Lord, let it rain. To the southern end, let it rain. Lord, from the coast of Florida to the top, connected with even this Birmingham, Lord, let it rain. Lord, you called the emotions of your people to gather together. You call us to be sturdy. You call us to establish the ground, to take back the ground. You call us to go back to the well. We dig the well once again. Father, you called us to be even as a launching pad tonight. Lord, you said that there's an outpouring of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we will not presume otherwise. But we stand and we ask you, Lord, with petition tonight. We're asking for our inheritance. That which you gave us, we don't want to lose it in a generation. We don't want to lose in one generation the Spirit of God. We're asking for mercy. For what's been a diluted gospel, your gospel is never, it's with life. Your word never falters. Your word is the life. For your Son is the Word. He is the life. He's the truth. He's the way. He's the life. He gave us the Spirit of God. the Holy Spirit. And like the sword of the Lord, Holy Spirit, arise. Let the Word and the Spirit be one. As the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are one, let us be one with the unity of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. As the Lord begins to unfold tonight, it's search me. When the prophet declared this outpouring that would take place in Joel, they went through the word. As you look from the beginning, they repented. They repented. And then the Lord tells, for years ahead, my Spirit will fall upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters, they shall prophesy. Are we without the word of the Lord? Has He given us a promise that has no meaning? I want you to take a step tonight past your feelings. Lord, forgive me. I want to look again at my son. I want to look again at my daughter. I want to look again at my mom. I want to look again eye to eye to my wife. I want to look eye to eye. I don't want to forget. I don't want to live on a fight. I don't want to go back in sorrows, but I want to redig this well. I want my family back in the kingdom. I'm going after what's mine. I'm going after what's mine. And if you've lost your family, how much more have you lost the things of the Spirit? Is it worth a fight? Is it worth a fight? We've gathered, and now we ask you, Lord. Lord Jesus, will you please forgive us of our sins? The real is the real. We're like scarred people. But we ask that you'd renew us, Lord. Renew us back. Lord, take us back tonight. Lord, for the backslidden, those that just knew the Lord and walked and haven't walked anymore, Lord, take us back. Lord, take us back tonight. Please forgive me. Forgive me. I can't live on my mama's religion. I got to know, Jesus, are you really real? Lord, will you have me back this night? This night, Lord, will you forgive me? Broken vessels. Broken vessels. See, the potter, it isn't that he didn't like you. It isn't that he tore down who you are. But he says, I make you afresh. I make you afresh tonight. I make you afresh. It's a potter's hands. Molding and shaping. Reaping. Touching. That this vessel would go through the fire. Many of you are vessels that will go through fire. Go through the fire. Through the kiln. The pressure, the intensity. Yet the love of the Father says, out of my hands, I molded you. I shaped you. I made you in my image. I made you in my image. Lord, strategically, take us now with a shift into the gate. Take us into the gateway, Lord. To where you speak to Abraham of the gate of inheritance. That your seed shall subdue the gates of your enemies. That your seed forever and ever shall subdue the enemy's gates. Lord, we're asking for the gateway to stand and take back that which was stolen. We're asking for the reaping and the harvest. Make way tonight. Hey, make way tonight. Hey, come amongst us, Lord. Oh, holy Lord, vessels of honor, petitioning the King, hand of my God, heal me. Heal me tonight. Heal to me tonight. Shift. Shift, my Lord. Shift. Shift us into your presence, my God. Father, shift us into your presence, my God. Shift us from a meeting to your presence, my God. My God, for your presence we ask tonight. Shift us into worship, Lord. Shift us into the reality of your Holy Spirit. Shift us into reality tonight. You took broken vessels and you made them whole. Begin to cry out, Lord, heal me. Heal me, Lord. Forgive my eyes that have looked at another woman. God, forgive my eyes that have looked in areas at another man. Forgive us, God, for looking at things we shouldn't look any longer. God, forgive us in words that we've spoken, Father, that we're not of a proper word that we should speak. Father, we ask again for mercy, at the gate of mercy, Father God. Father, we tremble in your presence. But we ask again, Father, that you might break forth like a reservoir that's been held back. Lord, let this dam be broken in your name. Lord, the prophet went to the mountain and he began to declare that which he declared to a king, that he declares to you the spoken word that you've given to him. You gave him the rhema word, and that rain will come. Break the drought. Hey, break the drought. Break the drought. Oh. Living water, living water. Remember, go to the top of the mount. Go, send a servant to the top. 3.5 years, dry land. Prophesy, no rain. No rain! No rain! Now the breaker, the word, has come. He's prophesied the word, and now he begins to pray. He sends his servant to the top. We see Elijah prostrate before the ground. Send the rain. 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 The first report, no rain. No, no. Go back, look again. Pray. Seek. The Bible says ask. Seek. Knock. Petitioning the Father, God of all creation. Is there an unlocking of the wells of heaven that would break the dryness out of us again? Is it not so even tonight that there's a breaking out of this dryness that's been in this city upon us as a people? That the Spirit of God rules and reigns? Is it not right by the King of Kings? Is it not right that He breaks forth? Is it not right that we go back and we pray again? Lord, break open the wells. Break open the wells of inheritance. That which we've tasted of from the beginning. We'll ask again, Lord. Are you hungry? Are you hungry? We get to the point to where the Lord says, are you hungry? I'll feed you. You won't go thirsty. You won't. Because you're my son. You're my daughter. Begins to touch you, just repent. You repent. You repent where you're at. Lord, forgive me. He's changing the balance of life, things that are undone, the shift that's taking place. It's bringing balance back into life, back in relationship with God. You grow in favor with God, and then you'll grow in favor with man. Jesus grew in favor. He was in favor with his Father, and he grew in favor with man. Father, I ask that you heal homes here tonight. Father, from where there's been great loss in the city, we ask again for mercy. Father, change the tide. Change the course of this famine. Holy Father, I ask, Father God, that you'd even cause these people that are here tonight, that you would immerse us not only in your presence, but I ask for answers tonight. I ask that you'd reach answers, just like the son who goes back to us to see his father that he's already raised up. I ask, Father God, for answers tonight. I ask that you'll do miracles in front of us, Lord, even before they were asked. I ask that you do miracles tonight, Lord. I ask you to break forth on the left hand and on the right hand. I ask, my Father God, that you'd break forth in your Son Jesus' name, Lord, that the gates would open wide, all ye gates. Gates open wide, all ye gates. Holy Lord, Redeemer, he who calls, I hear. We come running. Shepherd, rise. Shepherd, come. Shepherd, come. Family, could you just ask for your family? Lord, touch my baby. It might be the baby in your arms, and no matter how old they are, they're your babies. Lord, touch our babies once again. Lord, touch our babies, our children that have been foolish. Lord, touch our husbands that have been foolish. Touch the wives that have been foolish. Lord, let us not be a foolish people any longer. We do ask for mercy, God. Bring us back home. Bring us into this gate which you've opened, the gate of the field of the good pasture. When you're repenting, Lord, search me first. Get the beam out of my eye. I want to see. I want to see again. I want to hear again. I want to know again. Lord, the miracles in their bodies tonight. We ask, Lord, that you touch physical bodies tonight. Listen, we're gonna do something here tonight. Interesting. I want you to begin to pray. Begin praying, seeking the face of God. Lord, tell me what you're gonna heal. I want each one of you guys, you're on assignment. Lord, what are you going to heal? Begin
begin to ask the Lord, what are you going to heal? Not necessarily in you. Lord, what are you going to heal? You begin to hear. God, what are you going to heal tonight? What body part are you going to heal tonight? Lord, show us. Lord, we're asking together. Lord, show us. What are you going to heal? You may have the biggest problem in your own physical body. But Father, what are you going to heal tonight? There's oil in this house. Many carry it, but the Father pours it out tonight. Ball of your foot. Who's got a problem with their foot? I just see it starting at the foot. Is there somebody got a problem with their foot? Got a problem with feet? Is there anybody else? Any person's got a problem with the feet? Why don't you just come on up here? Just show me the foot. Sweetie, you don't have to show me your foot. We'll catch it just 1 minute. It's all right, sweetie. I was just saying, Lord, show us the feet. Maybe that's my last name. What's the matter with your feet? Hammer toe. Okay. It's a condition. Okay. What's the matter with your feet, sis? Anybody else have feet? What's up your feet? Numbness in the right foot. Okay. Mike, you're not. Your feet are okay. What's the matter with your feet? Numbness and a knot on your foot. Your heel. Okay, heel. Okay, pain runs up from the foot. Okay. Everybody go. Listen. You guys good on your feet? Okay. What's wrong for mom's feet? Okay, the cross. It's amazing because of where your feet will walk. What part of the body the Lord would take. And he said that he would take the foot. And it said that with the peace of God, you will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. This is a weapon that the enemy would like to deform. He'd like to get us off of our feet, but he's called us to make a stand. The Bible says how lovely are the feet of those who bring good news. It's the foundation that we stand on, the Word of God. Lord, these feet... yours is the ball of the foot, correct? Of the heel? Okay. Yours is the heel. Let me start for you. Let me grab here. Grab your hand. Jesus, with the heel. Lord, with the heel. From the toe to the heel. Like a runner that was running on the heels, Lord. Now take her to the toes, Lord. Like a sprinter, Lord. Lord, to run even a new distance. Lord, take the feet, Father God. Take the feet. And now we ask right now, Father God, for the transition of healing, for health for the feet. Father, in the physical realm, Father God, that you take that which is supernatural, for you are a spirit, and we worship you in spirit and in truth. And we work, we war, we learn, and we watch you, Lord. And by your word, and by your promise, Lord, we hold your daughter before you, and we say, Father, let the first fruits begin at the feet. Anchor us the feet. Be the light to our pathway on the feet. Show us the way. Mark the trail. Mark the way, Lord, tonight for these feet. Pour. Heal and be whole in Jesus' name. Pour, my Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now, weight, come off. Weight, come off now. Come off that heel. Pressure, come off in Jesus' name. As I'm praying for her, he's touching yours. Sorry, I had a good foot grab. I gotta stop my foot somewhere. Whose ankles? What if you have an ankle problem with your feet? Was there an ankle involved? She has an ankle. You have an ankle problem. Ankle problem with the feet. Lord, is there anybody else ankle problem with the feet? Ankle problem. Like a sprain. Alright. You two guys, just grab hands real quick. In the name of Jesus Christ, our King, from the feet to the ankle. Ankle, we command you. Now, bolt up and be strong by the power of God. In Jesus' name. Shock, shock, shock. I break you. Shock, I break you off the ankle. Charlotte, you got their hands? Grab, put both their hands together. In the name of Jesus Christ, our King, liberate the daughter's feet. Liberate the daughter's feet. Liberate the men's feet. Liberate their feet, their ankles. Now, Lord, show them up now in Jesus' name. Feet, I command you. Hold, hold, hold. Dance, 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 dance. Shake, Lord. Kick, shake. Kick, Lord, shake. Now you're telling me that yours was like a numbness. Okay, let's go with the numbness. Was yours numb also? Was there anybody else that had numbness on the feet? Numbness. Your mom has numbness also on the feet. All right, family, can we do this together? Let's it's not by ourselves, okay? Listen, I love it because one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000. What, you know? We've got it. We've got it together. I mean, it's not that we have it together, but we are together when we see it together. I mean, the enemy always tries to divide a house. He tries to divide unity. Always tries to divide the vision. You know, remove the vision and say, my people perish. Without a vision, my people perish. Divide the house. I mean, then the house splits. I mean, we're looking at what God's called us together in unity. And what I believe again, that not only is he fastening the feet together, but now it's to bring the life to the feet. That blood flow that flows down from heaven to man. It's like from the top of man, he has a head. Who's the head of us? It's Jesus Christ. And then from the head flows the blood. The blood of Jesus Christ. Now, when there's no blood flow, there's little feeling. There can become numbness. Now, again, I mean, I don't understand the physical or medical, do not claim to. I declare the blood of Jesus Christ over your feet. And I say, now, my Lord, to the little feet, now awaken. Blood flow, I command you in the name of Jesus, now flow. Flow in the children's feet. Flow back in the children's feet. Feeling, I said, come back in the children's feet. Numbness, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, our King. Now turn, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. Feeling, come back to the bottom of the feet. It's like a massage going on your feet. It's not over yet. Corn. You don't have to, if that's embarrassing, you don't have to raise your hand. Just, the Lord's touching the growth on the feet. Spur at the bottom of the heel. Growth outward, growth inward. Come off now in Jesus' name. Come off now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Matter of fact, while you're praising the Lord, check your elbow out. Pressure, come off the feet. this pressure. In the name of Jesus Christ, my King, your King, our King, Jesus, we ask right now that you remove the pressure, swelling, that's even come, that's even attacked many others. In the name of Jesus Christ, not only in your name, I want to tell you I love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Feet, all your feet, awaken. All your feet, awaken. 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 Tissue, come back. Tissue, come back. Tissue, come back. Arches, come back. Arches, come back. Arches, come back. In Jesus' name. Who had a fractured foot? Had a bone fracture? Whether you're up here or not. Was there somebody here who had a fractured foot? You had a fractured foot? Okay, come on up. What happened with your foot? Okay. 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 So she has a fractured foot. Very good. Whether it's past tense or now, let's grab up. Jesus, this foot, Lord, the more tonight, Lord, Lord, we ask right now, Father God, take the burning off of her feet. Take the fire off of her feet. New bone, strengthen. New bone, according to the word of God. I said, fractured foot, wholeness. No more damage, no damage, no damage in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, now give the stepping stones to this body. Lord, give the stepping stones to this body. Can you guys check out your feet? What's going on? Can anybody check it out? What's happening? Amen. Amen. Anybody else, do you sense anything else going on in your feet? You may have to walk on it. Really, it's just like sometimes you get so used to the way it's walked, you know, and it's like, all of a sudden, let's check it out, you know? What's going on with our feet right there? Can you tell anything, sis? Well, you know what? Okay. My wife and I, we got this thing. We'll see. Let's see. I mean, let's just simply see. If God's doing it, you know, He's doing it. You know, it's just that simple. Lord, you do it. And I believe, again, that He started at the feet, started at the heel. And, you know, we're just watching in action. And I believe that there's something with purpose even in this time. And I heard Him talk about an elbow. Was there somebody who had an elbow? Can I identify with an elbow? I mean, it's like in the midst of here, we're talking about feet. I just feel like, Sheila, what happened to your elbows? Just elbow. Okay. Are they in pain now? You live in pain? Or come together.
I don't know what it is. Jesus, in your name, Lord, we see Sheila's, and she's testifying that there's been ongoing pains. But Lord, you spoke and you showed a word, Lord, not a glimmer of hope, but you are the hope. And we ask right now for every elbow that's had damage done to it. We ask, Father, that you renew and that you heal and that you set free. Father, we thank you that you set bones back in place tonight. We thank you, Lord, that you literally are liberating the feet of your people to stand again, to walk on the ground that you've called us to. And we thank you, Jesus. Bring balance back to our feet. Bring health back to our feet. Bring us back into this place of health. And we thank you, Lord. The twisted toe. Who was the one that had the... Was it the mom that had the twisted toes? Lord, it's just reminding me, okay? Let me just see your hand for a minute. Was it your mom? What's your mom's name? Minnie. Lord Jesus, family, can you hang with us one more time? Lord Jesus, where Minnie's toes have curled, we ask in your name, Jesus, that you straighten her feet, straighten her toes. Untie the knot now, my Lord. We thank you, Lord. Untie the knot. I said loosen in Jesus' name. Loosen her feet. Loosen her toes. Freedom. Amen. 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 Now listen, do you have a relationship that you can talk to your mom about her toes, about her feet? Go tell your mom that we've prayed for tonight, and God touched her feet. Go tell your mom. I'm serious. I mean, just, it may seem as way out as it is, but I believe that even when I was praying for you, that the Lord's touching her feet, like untying a knot. Yeah, amen, 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 amen. And it's like, now just begin to stand there. Tell your mom just to begin to lean forward on her feet. Just begin to lean forward. Hold on to something, but just begin to lean forward, okay? Grab your feet. Lord, this one's in proxy. In your name. Jesus, in your name. Speak to the feet. And I said, feet. I said, now be free. All your toes. Loosen the cord that bound. In Jesus' name. Fear, I command you break off this woman. In the name of Jesus Christ, our King. Amen. Kitchen, 1 second. Somebody said hammer toe. Lord's just reminding me of things that we just got through saying. Jesus, we ask right now in your son Jesus' name, my Lord, to touch this condition, not just condition, but we ask that this condition come off, and no longer is it hers to hold on to. We ask right now that you dismiss it. Hammer toe, I command you, I dismiss your hold. I dismiss your diagnosis. And I command you, loose this woman in the name of Jesus Christ. I said, feet, be whole in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey. Jesus, in your name. Mike, Charlotte, could you guys just put your hands on... Lord God, we come into agreement with Mike, with Charlotte. Mike, go ahead and pray.
Lord, we just pray for Gary, Lord, and we just lift him up right now, Lord. Lord, for this issue of, what's it called, neuropathy, Lord. We just lift that up, Lord. And Lord, we just break and bind, Lord God. Lord, sickness, disease, Lord God, it's not of you. Lord, we just come against it right now tonight in Jesus' name. Lord, we declare, Lord God, the attacks, Lord God, the assignment of the enemy to be broken off of Gary's life tonight. And Lord, we just declare for proper circulation, Lord God, begin to flow through those legs, Lord, into those feet, Lord God. We just declare, Lord God, for the circulatory system, Lord, to begin to function, Lord, properly, Lord, and align, Lord God, with your word. Lord, we just thank you, Lord God, for healing Gary tonight, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for your power and your presence, Lord, that goes through Gary tonight, Lord. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord.
Debbie, what I saw just like was just like almost like ice, and that whenever you slam it, it was like the breaking of the ice. And even like the proxy, just however hard, I mean, don't hurt your feet, but just like in proxy, she stood for Gary. Just break it off. Just break it off. And we thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you are breaking off, that you heard our prayers. And we ask you, Father, now for liberation. We thank you, Father, for breaking this generational curse off Gary. Generational curse, you have no hold in Jesus' name. And we say, break off Gary. Break in the name of Jesus Christ, our King. For Lord, you hear the cry of even as... We thank you for this answer. We thank you for this answer. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Is that the duck mark kidding me? Okay.
It's like I felt something here. It's like, boom, I know something. It's beginning to rain. Okay. Mike doesn't want it to rain in here yet, but... Okay, I see that now. That's funny. We asked for it to rain, and it's like, okay, it rained. I promise. No. Oh, Lord, you're fun. Hey, we want to minister. You guys can sit down and be rested for a moment. And we want to minister prophetically to many of you guys.
What we're going to do is, you got the recording.